Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We're ready to begin our service, and welcome to Eagle Bend Community Church. Somebody said, I need a gavel. Well, another person said, it's like herding cats. Let us open our service with a word of prayer.
Good morning, everybody on this beautiful day, and welcome to Eagle Bend Community Church. Let's do open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this congregation. We lift them up to you in prayer. We hope that you will be with each and every one of them and let your light shine through them. We have many, many people on our prayer list, and we know that you are aware and are with them in giving comfort and peace to those. Please be with us as we have this special service today, and we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Tom. There, I got a mic. We have a Tony in our congregation. Anna Lee won last week at the Tony, so we're very proud, even though we didn't have anything to do with it, right? I don't know how many of you realize, but today is Flag Day. We don't make it a national holiday much anymore. We don't celebrate, but it is a holiday. And so instead of a story this morning, I thought I would ask you to stand and we will salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Now stay up because we're going to sing a hymn, okay? We're going to start out with Holy, Holy.
Holy,
You, that was great singing. Be seated.
We have a very special occasion right now. Reaffirmation of wedding vows of 60 years. We come together not to mark the start of a relationship, but to celebrate a bond that has continued to grow and strengthen in love. Love is one, though its expressions are infinite. Daryl and Barbara, when you first joined hands and hearts 60 years ago, you did not know where life would take you. You promised to love, honor, and cherish one another through all things. Life has surely brought you both wonderful blessings and also difficult tribulations. You have fulfilled your promises to God, and God is surely smiling because of that. So as you come together to reaffirm your love for one another, and as you reflect back over all the years as husband and wife, do you reaffirm the vows you took 60 years ago? If so, please repeat after me. I affirm my love.
I affirm my love
and commitment to you.
And commitment to you.
I reaffirm my promise.
I reaffirm my promise
to always honor and cherish you.
To always honor and cherish you.
I promise to be true.
I promise to be true
to you every day.
To you every day.
Whether we are together or apart.
Whether we are together or apart.
I reaffirm that you, Daryl.
I reaffirm that you, Daryl.
Are the love of my life.
Are the love of my life.
I affirm my love.
I affirm my love.
And commitment to you.
And commitment to you.
I reaffirm my promise.
I reaffirm my promise.
To always honor and cherish you.
To always honor and cherish you.
I promise to be true to you every day.
I promise to be true to you every day.
Whether we are together or apart.
Whether we are together or apart.
I reaffirm that you, Barbara.
I reaffirm that you, Barbara.
Are the love of my life.
Are the love of my life.
From 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth, and it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. We wish you and Daryl and Barbara continued love and happiness for the days to come. In the loving name of Christ our Lord, In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Because you come to me with naught save love, and hold my hand and lift mine eyes above a wider world of hope and joy I see. Because you come to me, because you speak to me in accents sweet, I find the roses waking round my feet, and I am led through tears and joy to thee, because you speak to me, because God made thee mine, I'll cherish thee through light and darkness, through all time to be, and pray his love may make our love divine.
Turn again, and I'm not sure after that whether I can or not go on. But thank you guys for coming. Do remember there's cake in the back there. They were shy. The family up here didn't stand up and say it was their anniversary too. Our daughter and son-in-law had an anniversary this week, 32 years, and the grandkids is 10 next month. So we have 100 years of wedding up here. All right, it's time for us to do the congregational prayer, and I know it says Daryl, but I have it, so we'll bow our heads now and thank God for this wonderful day. Holy Father, we come before you today on this Flag Day and ask that you continue to bless this great country that was founded on Christian principles and allows us to freely meet and to worship you without fear of intervention. May our flag fly and symbolize that faith which has sustained this country for over 200 years. Bless our veterans, past and present, who have fought so diligently to preserve and protect this wonderful flag. The blessings of this church are many, and we can never fully express our gratitude. But we ask that you bless this church and all of its members. And our needs continue to grow, but we know that you will address them and show your loving concern and surround them all with your loving presence. Guard us against sin, and let your glory shine through us as an earthly father loves his children and strives to see them grow in beauty, character, and wisdom. So you too lavish your love on us. Speak to us today as Bruce brings us the message, and make it a blessing to us all. We ask all these things in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen.
Seems like this is Barbara and Daryl Day. I don't have my glasses, so let every soul be subject to the governing authority, for there is no authority except from God. And the authority that exists are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath to him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministering, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Romans 13, 1 through 7.
We're going to stand and sing a hymn, but we will be following it with the doxology, so please stay standing. Singing, and now we're going to honor God with our tithes and offerings, so let's sing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Seated.
We thank you, O Lord, for this day, for our blessings. We ask you to be grateful for what you have done for us, and so that here we are giving our tithes to you to support your kingdom here on earth. Amen. And by the way, today is going to be a little talk about politics, and the dressing on the cross doesn't mean that it's leaning to the right at all. Winston Churchill once remarked that democracy is the worst form of government until you consider the alternative. Well, democracy is messy and difficult, and it's maddeningly slow because it depends upon the will of the people. It's not dictated by one person. But who would like to live under a dictatorship? I know I wouldn't. Some elections make it clear that democracy doesn't work in the way we want it always. Sometimes the wrong candidates win, and sometimes the right candidates lose. Isn't that the case? Sometimes good leaders lose an election only to be replaced by somebody who doesn't do as good a job. Well, the candidates that I support, I can't talk about them either, don't always win. What do you do then? Well, you generally learn more from defeat than you learn from victory. In fact, very often when there are defeats, new doors are open. And even in losing, because of losing, Churchill's statement proves that democracy, even a flawed democracy such as they all are, beats the alternatives. It's said that God has put together three institutions in our life: the home, the church, and the state. In doing so, he gave us explicit instructions on how all three are to operate, hasn't he? He says, talks to us about the home, of course, how the home should work, the church, here's the church, and now about the state. We're going to talk about that this morning. We don't know too much about that, but the 13th chapter of Romans talks specifically about politics and government and how Christians should relate to human government. It answers some questions, but it raises a lot of them, and some of them I can't get into today because we'd be here until tomorrow if we discuss them all. For example, what does it mean to be a Christian living under a pagan government? Is violent revolution ever justified? What about capital punishment? Is it wrong to pay taxes to an unjust government, in your opinion? What about picketing abortion clinics? Under what circumstances should Christians disobey the law? Is it wrong to refuse to pay taxes, to protest against something that you don't agree with? Should Christians serve in the armed forces because that requires some killing? How do you respond to those who are corrupt? How do you deal with that? How far should we go to express Christian concerns? They're all important questions, and there's no simple answers to them, are there? And I can't answer every possible question, but I'm going to lay down a broad brush consideration of the state, of government, and God. The source of government. Well, the source of government comes from God. Human government is established by God. Listen to verse 1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except for God, and those who have existed have been instituted by God. These are the words of St. Paul from God when he was in Rome. The word authority is very broad. The Greek word is exousia, which means a person has a right to do something, has the power to do something. Seen in another light, authority is a person who has the right to make decisions. For example, as all the guys know, we are the head of a household. Why are you laughing? In name only, Daryl says, and Don laughs, and everybody else laughs. Well, need I say more? The head of the household is the head of the household. The passage of Paul's thinking about is about human governments, kings, queens, emperors, magistrates, presidents, dictators, and potentates of every variety. We even have a magistrate right here, sitting here in a yellow shirt, right, don't we? We have a magistrate. And he, Judge Tom DiMarino, has been put there by God because that is what God does. He puts people in positions throughout government. Well, Paul is not thinking about one form of human government, such as democracy. He's talking about all kinds, oligarchies, monarch, socialism, communism, dictatorships. God uses all those for his purposes. It's hard to understand, really. Sometimes it's very difficult to understand what God is doing. He's not talking about just American democracy. He's talking about all human government. It comes from the hand of God to do his will. Well, when Paul wrote these words in the book of Romans, he was in Rome, and the emperor was Nero, a very wicked person. He hated Christians, and very often he would take Christians and cover them with wax, nail them to a pole, and set them on fire. He ordered Rome to be set on fire, and he flamed the Christians for doing that. Ancient Rome was wicked and was pagan, far beyond what you could imagine, and the Christian gospel was spreading quickly in Rome. Abortion flourished. Homosexuality was accepted as normal. The masses worshiped Caesar as Lord God. Sorcery, black magic abounded. Yet, Paul said all authority comes from God. Even within that milieu, that situation, all authority comes from God. He gave an explicit directive. He said, be subject to the governing authorities. No ifs, ands, or buts. We are to be subject to the governing authorities. It's a Christian word. It's a word that means submit. It's used over 50 times in the New Testament. We are to submit ourselves to government. Well, let's share a simple definition that may help you. Submission means believing that God is able to accomplish his will in my life through those he has placed in authority over me. That's kind of difficult to understand. How can that happen? How can that happen? What do you do then if you can, what can you do? You can rebel. You can fight back. You can suffer in silence. You can complain to others. You can get angry and get even. You can appeal to authority. You can take action. The most important thing is the attitude of your heart within this situation. God stands behind the ballot box and the armies that march and the navies that sail. He is the unseen hand at work in the nations of the world. He works in every nation of the world. And how it's going to pan out, we don't know. How it's going to work with ISIS, with the Islam terror, the extremists. Extremists in all areas, how is that going to work out? God stands behind this. That means that George Washington came to power by the hand of God. So did Abraham Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, Harry Truman, Dwight Eisenhower. God installed John Kennedy in the White House and replaced him with Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, George Bush, Bill Clinton, and George W. Bush, and now Barack Obama. Who knows who's next? God knows. God only knows. Well, in these politically charged times, it remembers that when Jesus comes back, he will not be riding on a donkey or an elephant, will he? When Jesus comes back, he will not be Republican or Democrat. He's got the only vote that counts. Well, the second thing is to rebel brings punishment, Paul says. He says, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. That means we're supposed to obey our government. In other words, if you're speeding and you get a ticket, well, you got your ticket because you were rebelling against authority. Paul introduced the ministry of government. The word sounds odd to us. Twice he says that rulers are servants of God. They are controlled by God. All human authorities serve the purposes of God on earth. Think about that a minute. So the IRS agent who audits your return is an agent of God. Barack Obama is God's servant. Doesn't always show that way. And so is Vladimir Putin of Russia. It's true for every human leader, whether they know it or not, they are doing God's will. Well, this is the basis for treating our leaders with respect. We should show honor and respect to our leaders and understand that they are appointed by God. Well, there are times when a Christian and I must speak out against what's going on. Isn't that true? How do we do that? How do we do that if we don't agree with what's going on? I must not treat that lightly. You know, the modern technology allows us to make foolish things happen very quickly, like emails and Facebook and so on. Be careful what you write when you're angry. Be careful what you write when you're upset. Be careful that you might text something to somebody if you feel cheated. Take a deep breath. Think about it before you do anything. I don't take a deep breath, I pass it by Betty first. According to Romans 13, all human authorities exist to do two things. The human authorities to punish the wicked, for it says in verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. That's following the law, Paul is saying, following the law, no matter even if it's Nero, or who it was, follow the law. That's why we have police officers and FBI agents. We have a retired FBI agent in the back there. Hi, Dan. He worked for God, too, because he was working for the government as well. How many other people here have worked for the government? There we go. We have a lot of people that have been part of the political situation. Well, we have FBI agents and TSA officers. Remember prior to 9/11 how easy it was to get on a plane? But it's very interesting that, did you read that 67 out of 70 attempts to bring a contraband on a plane went through TSA without being challenged? And these were just auditors that had a fake gun, metal gun strapped to their back. So that's kind of scary. So we need to get these things improved. And how do you get these things improved? You do it by communicating with your congresspeople and saying, we need to get this fixed. Secondly, Paul says to reward the righteous. The human authorities do two things. One is to punish the wicked. Number two is to reward the righteous. In verse 4 it says, for he is God's servant for your good, but if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath to the wrongdoing. Do right. If you do right, you have nothing to fear. It's like telling the truth. If you tell a lie, it's hard to remember your lie. But if you tell the truth, that's real easy to remember, isn't it? Paul himself experienced the cruelty of the Roman government because he himself was beheaded in Rome by the agents of Nero. God says that the state does have the right to take life through war, through capital punishment, but only if it's justified. The third section is, and this ends the passage, about Christians' duty to support the government. We support the government in verse 5, therefore one must be in subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but for the sake of conscience. Lawbreakers are brought to justice. That's why we have laws to keep us, our society, sane. We must never join the rank with our anarchists that say, bring down all the government. We don't need government. Even bad government is better than no government at all. To be more specific, Christians should be known as law-abiding citizens. We shouldn't go to abortion clinics and kill people like some Christians have said they're going to do or have done. How we support the government? In verse 6 it says, for the same reasons you pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay all that is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to who revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. These are ministers of God in government. That's so important. As such, they deserve four things from us, taxes, revenue, respect, and honor, even if you don't agree with them. Rome, for example, in those days, you think we're heavily taxed. Well, why do you listen to the taxes that Rome had? An income tax. Well, we have that. A head tax. A poll tax. A road tax. A wagon tax, a crop tax, an import tax, an export tax, a harbor tax, and a bridge tax. Well, think about that. I think we have most of those, don't we? Look, E-470 is kind of like our bridge tax, and we pay taxes on income and outgo on exports and imports. But the Caesars in those days used all the money for themselves, and they built roads, of course, but they lived a very sumptuous life. Paying taxes is a Christian duty. Not fun. Tax evasion is not only a crime, but because God has instituted government, avoiding taxes is also a sin. We don't like to send money to Washington when we see how taxes are used. We don't like the way some taxes are used, but the way you have to complain about that is to actually do and complain about it. Well, to wrap up this message, there are four critical questions. Number one, how far can Christians go in expressing opposition to an unjust government? How far can you go? Well, the answer is clear. You can go as far as the law allows and no further. You can picket, you can collect petitions, you can write letters, you can call a talk show host and sound off, you can take a video and post it on YouTube, you can vote and encourage others to vote like you, you could call your congressman. There are a lot of ways that you can express your opinion. And you can run for office. Well, maybe not at this age, but we can run for office. Submission doesn't require to keep your mouth shut about injustice. The issue of the heart is so important, though, because that's the most important thing. The issue of the heart. We shouldn't speak with a burning anger, but we should speak strongly. Secondly, what should Christians do if government orders them to do something that conflicts with their faith? We must obey God rather than man. In Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than man. And we must be willing to suffer the consequences if we have to fight against God. A Christian must disobey his government when the government asks him to violate a commandment of God, commit an immoral or an unethical act, or go against Christian conscience. And everybody has a different Christian conscience. So if you read in Daniel 3, you'll hear about the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They spoke respectfully to the king, even though they disobeyed his direct orders. They disobey with a submissive heart. That's why God blessed them in spite of their disobedience. And what about disobedience, civil disobedience? We think about the race riots in the 60s. We remember in the Bible about the Hebrew midwives refusing to kill the babies in Exodus 1. We hear about Rahab the harlot hiding the Israeli spies in Jericho. Whenever laws are enacted which can contradict God's laws, civil disobedience becomes Christian duty, but not violence. Not violence. Believers who choose disobedience can also claim some special protection from God, because God will be with you when you do that. So what does it mean to be a good Christian and also a good citizen? Very simply, it means that you have dual citizenship. You have citizenship here, and we have citizenship in heaven. As Christians, God calls us to become the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That's our duty. Salt makes food taste better. Our life makes lives better for us, for those who are around us. Our light that shines Christ to others is so important to make others live better. We are called to be godly rebels, aren't we? Rebels in a sense that is not violent. Many times our Christian faith will stand against the status quo. It seems as though in the years coming that we're going to have to take that stance, aren't we? Because there are so many things that are coming down the pike that are against our Christian principles. So many things. So many things. I pray for leaders that will obey. Micah 6:8 says, "Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before God." These are the only times we are given. Despair is never an option for Christians, because you have God to help you. Let us reaffirm our belief that God reigns over all the nations of the earth. He's the Lord God Almighty. To him, all nations are but a drop in the bucket, because he rules the universe. But God is in control. The one enthroned in heaven laughs at those who rage against them. No matter who controls the House or the Senate or the White House, God is still in control, still on the throne. We don't know what's going to happen in 2016, do we, in the elections? But whatever happens, God will control. Keep that in mind for the days to come, that you have to work in and with God's reign. He knows what he's doing, and he's doing it. And that's our political stance for today. Amen.
We're not like some churches where you have the pews and you have to kneel, but we're still going to get up and sing another hymn. And this is in preparation for communion. So please stand and we'll sing, "Come Share the Lord." Name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. He joins us here, he breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. Oh, seated.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. He broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you." When they had finished eating, he took the cup and blessed it and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Drink all of it in remembrance of me."
Our final hymn today is one that the title's not familiar, but you're going to know the tune to this one. So please stand as we sing, "I Then Shall Live."
Forgiven, I walk with joy.
last line of the hymn reminds us that we have cake in the bag. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.